Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Molly Green
and Darren Rudge.
Well, yes. Sometimes that's God's way of getting you to enjoy Gardener's World.
The Happy Garden.
Oh, hang on a second. Sorry, Darren. The cat's just come in. It obviously takes priority. Hang on a second. She's got to have my seat. Hang on, Darren. Wait a second. I'll sit here. You can have the comfortable chair. Hang on, Daz. I've literally just got home, so she's been on her own all day, so I'm really conscious that she has a bit of company if she wants to come sit with me. Sorry, Darren. Hang on.
That's all right.
She is 20. Come on. There, you have that chair. I'll have the uncomfortable chair. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There we are, because then she'll sit with me. You sit there. OK, I've got the wooden chair. OK, you sit there. All right, good. OK, let's go.
Molly Green
and Darren Rudge.
Well, yes. Sometimes that's God's way of getting you to enjoy Gardener's World.
The Happy Garden.
And another edition of the Happy Garden podcast is now underway. We're off. And so much to talk about today. Hopefully you've been able to get out and about. And there is nothing nicer than taking your morning tea or coffee outside on a cold but sunny morning, which we're getting increasingly, and imagining and planning as you sit and stare at your garden. It's definitely changing, isn't it, on a weekly basis now, from brown to green, from bare soil to weeds. It's all action stations. Oh, and this morning I saw my first bluebell as well. Beautiful time of the year. Let me introduce you to our troop leader for proceedings today. It's your horticultural expert, the magnificent Darren Rudge.
Hello.
Hey, Dazzler Pants. How are you today?
I'm all right, thank you. Not too bad at all.
Now, I know. Now, you know that's a lie. I know that's a lie. You've had an awful lot of work to do today.
Oh, I've had some RHS work to do for about 8 hours today.
Well, Darren and I, we're recording this podcast sort of late evening, aren't we? We've both had long days. But, yeah, you've been doing an awful lot of paperwork, so...
Yeah, you've been doing a lot of work as well.
Oh, we're so hardworking, Darren.
Oh, God. so hardworking.
Yeah, we are. Right, awful lot to come up on the podcast. Darren, I know you want to talk about, well, we've got a Gardener's World Live announcement from you a bit later on.
Yeah, oh, yes. I've got my new sow and grow slot.
Which we're looking forward to. If you've seen our Facebook, the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook, a couple of people have been in touch saying, literally, Darren, help. Our seedlings are falling over. So hopefully you can instill some advice a little bit later on.
But of course, no problem at all with that. I'm pretty sure I've got most of the answers from the pictures that I've actually seen.
Fab.
So
And also, we had Frog Life, the wonderful charity Frog Life, the show, yes, on the podcast last week. Frog Life are going to join us. Going to talk to Kathy Wormald, CEO of Frog Life, on this aspect of stopping spawn sales. It was something I wasn't aware of until I spoke to Kathy, that they have sort of an annual social media campaign during March to tackle the illegal practice of selling wild-caught amphibian spawn and tadpoles online. Did you know that happened, Darren?
Well, I didn't, but I can imagine it does, because everything's on the black market these days, isn't it? But, well...
Well, we'll find out why they're trying to stop spawn sales a little bit later on. Oh, and Darren, Andy Land will be here a little bit later on.
Oh, I have to say...
So do I.
I have to say...
You say it.
You know, last week's History of the Bush has just been the talking point.
I know. So many people have mentioned it to me as well. Have they to you?
Most definitely.
Oh, we did giggle last week, didn't we? Gertrude Jekyll's hedge, let's say. Well, it's the horticultural history today is of carrots, because it's International Carrot Day on the 4th of April. Wow. So, yeah, the historical facts on carrots. Darren.
Hello.
Why is a carrot orange and pointy?
I don't know. Why is a carrot orange and pointy?
Because if it were round and green, it would be a pea. Thank you. Now, are your jokes as good as that a little bit later on?
I think I can offer something slightly better.
You see, the one you did a couple of weeks ago about the Naked Gardening Club, I'm still laughing about that one. I am. Oh, fabulous. So much to do today. That and much more to come.
All of this and more still to come on
The Happy Garden
with Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
As always, our dash, shall we start with some jobs for the week ahead?
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes. 3, 2, 1, and go.
Well, folks, fill the gaps in your flower beds with primulas and polyanthus, plus prune forsythia flowering currants as soon as they have faded. Their flowers have faded. Leave daffodil foliage intact for at least 6 weeks after flowering to regenerate those bulbs so they'll bloom again for you next year. Plant out groups of gladioli in borders and sow sweet peas directly into the base of cane supports or obelisks. Sow also seeds of dwarf beans in deep pots or in cardboard toilet roll tubes filled with compost. In the veg garden, plant out new asparagus beds and continue planting potatoes, shallots and onion sets, and feed spring cabbage with a high nitrogen fertiliser, and remove forcing jars from rhubarb if you've used them, and let them grow uncovered so you'll develop those wonderful, sweet and gorgeous stalks that you all love to eat with a little dip of sugar.
Nice. Thank you very much, Darren. We'll have some more jobs in a little while. Do you know what took a lot of my time this week? And you're going to find this ridiculous.
What was that?
You know my bare root roses that I got from David Austin? The three of them. Yeah. And you talked me through planting them and where to put them and what to put in the hole.
Yeah.
I couldn't find one of them this week.
You couldn't find one of them.
Yeah.
Had it wandered off?
No, the problem was, and I do worry about myself now I'm in my 40s, Darren, I couldn't for the life of me...
Just a baby.
Do you think? What, in comparison? I'm joking.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, love you. I couldn't for the life of me remember where I'd planted it. You could put me in a semi-Nelson and done that with my head. I could not remember. I looked everywhere, every inch of the garden, couldn't find it.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I did. I found it yesterday. And my husband a million times has said, is that it? And I said, no. but it turned out it was. I didn't realise I'd planted one in the front bed. Oh. Darren, isn't it worrying? And the thing is, when they're twigs, you know, it looks like everything else. But
you thought about putting a label in? So it
in hindsight, spot. Definitely, because there is so much detritus in the garden, isn't there, with twigs and last year's hydrangea heads that are on the floor and this, that and the other and leaves. Funny you say that. I'm going to tie a little orange ribbon around the bare root stock in the future so I know where it is.
And we can sing that song, can't we?
Well, what's that?
tie an orange ribbon round Rosie's bare root rose. It's been 3 long years.
Where the hell are you? I'll have to get the houseplant band onto that. But honestly, it didn't half worry me in the week. But yeah, good little tip. But the good thing is, because if you remember, I said to you, I think I might have just bought £70 worth of twigs. They have just started. There's a tiny little red nub about every inch up every single bare root rose. It's the most beautiful sight.
Yeah, I see. Mm. I told you to keep the faith.
Yeah,
keep
you did.
The faith.
Hold your
nerve.
They'll
be there, yeah. And they'll make wonderful roses for you.
Yeah.
And they're probably better than pot-grown roses. They're going to be a lot better than pot-grown roses because pot-grown roses, folks, have been restricted. Those have come from a field.
Of
They've
course,
got a lovely
yeah.
root system that's ready to go. So they'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm going to take regular pictures and probably put it on the Facebook page. Facebook, by the way, is the Happy Garden Podcast. If you'd like to follow us there, you can do. Now, April the 4th, International Carrot Day. Andy Lound will be here shortly with the history of the humble carrot. And we'll be hearing about the campaign to stop illegal sales of wild frog spawn shortly as well here on the podcast. Shall we start with a little question now for you there, Darren? I've got several questions to get through for you today.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. This is, I think this was on the email, which is thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Any questions, any worries you've got about anything in your garden or successes and tips, anything that you want to share, it's thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Molly, Darren, I've got a cactus, which I rescued from a friend who was going to throw it out. I changed the compost for cactus compost, and it is looking much better. However, I heard you say in one of the podcasts that plants don't like sun on their roots. As you can see, this is in a glass container and on a windowsill. Darren, should I be repotting it to another container? Any tips that you have to help it thrive? As you can see, it is a little bit brown in places. And that's from Coral, Darren.
Well, in general terms, plants don't like sun on their roots, Coral. Okay, but cacti, slightly different. They do like it warm, don't they? No, I mean, the root system is underground, so it should be cooler for them. But actually, all you've got is exposed. You've just got the peripheral roots. So it's not going to be a massive problem for a cacti to have its roots. Because let's just describe the picture. This is a glass container that Coral's got cacti planted into. So you can see all the compost below ground level and some of the root system. So I wouldn't think necessarily it's a problem for your cacti. The fact that it's gone brown in some places, again, is just age. That cacti doesn't look any problem to me. It doesn't look as though it's going through any pain or anything like that. And you've got in exactly the right place on a really nice sunny windowsill. Give it the occasional drink and it'll be fine. And I think your cacti is fine the way it is. Keep it pot bound. Otherwise, you know what happens with cacti? If you pot them up, they grow even bigger. So it's sitting on a nice windowsill. It's just about the right size now. You'll keep it that size if you keep it in that container. But if you decided to buy another really decorative container and pop it into it, wouldn't hurt, apart from the fact it'll grow a bit bigger for you. So it's really up to yourself. Go on, treat yourself to a new pot, Coral. Treat yourself to a pot from Craig's Cacti, who we'll be seeing at, you know, Chelsea Flower Show, as well as probably the NEC, BBC Gardeners World Live. They'll have one for you there, as well as lots of other cacti.
Have you been accredited? You have, haven't you? You've got your ticket for Chelsea.
Me?
I still haven't
what?
Got mine.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
I think you might be going on your own.
Got my press pass.
Oh, no. I still haven't got mine.
Yeah, I think they've been warned about you, Molly.
No, do you know what I think it is, in all seriousness?
Yeah.
Because I used... My photo was really, really old, and I don't think it was what they stipulated, because it's like a passport photo. You're not allowed to smile or anything on. You've got to be stood against a blank wall. I think I sent one of me and Bill Bailey, so I think I've been rejected.
Oh, you're talking about... I have a bone to pick with you,
with
Mrs.
me?
Green.
What?
I do, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, when you do your little teasers...
Oh, the little video things on the Facebook?
Yeah. There's a picture of you comes up.
Yes!
With Bill Bailey,
yes!
And my face is superimposed.
Well, isn't that awful?
No, that's not the bone I have to pick.
Oh, okay.
Because I've got the original photo with there's you, me, and Bill Bailey in the centre.
Oh,
you've, You've cut me off that photo.
Well, hang on. No, wait, Rudge. No, wait, because we've got a picture of you, myself and Richard E. Grant, and you've cut me out. So, come on now. What's good for the goose? I've seen that on your Facebook.
I've gone all red.
That's really funny. But for that specific thing, for the video thing, I tried to find a picture of you and I laughing, but there was always someone in between. So this is the best I could do was put your face on Bill Bailey's shoulders.
Fantastic.
But he had a nice jacket on, so you look very smart. Oh, dear. Let's hope we manage to get there together this year.
Yeah,
all right.
Hopefully, yeah.
Oh, how funny. Right, anyway, that's... when is Chelsea? May. That's for a couple of months.
Yeah, May, yeah.
All right. Let's hope I get my pass. Right, let's talk frog life again here on the Happy Garden podcast. So, Frog Life run this annual campaign, hashtag Stop Spawn Sales, and it's a huge media campaign during the month of March. I know we're at the end of March, but it's still worth mentioning. They tackle the illegal practice of selling wild-caught amphibian spawn and tadpoles online. So Kathy Wormald, CEO of the charity Frog Life, join me again for a chat.
Lots of people or lots of companies sell spawn on websites. It is illegal to sell spawn that has been taken from the wild. It is not illegal to sell captured bred spawn. And the reason why we want to stop spawn sales is because the transferring of spawn from one habitat to another, research has found that it can cause the spread of diseases. And we're trying to keep amphibian disease at bay in the UK, and therefore it's best to just not buy spawn and rather let the amphibians arrive naturally. It is the best process that you can follow. And we really, really want companies to stop selling, particularly spawn taken from the wild.
Kathy, I had literally no idea that this went on. Has this happened historically, selling spawn?
Yeah, it's been going on for a long time. We contact some of the portals that host these companies and ask them to take it down. They're normally quite good. If you can get hold of the relevant person, they normally will take the content down if it's up there illegally, so if it's been taken from the wild. But it is something that has been going on for a long time. A lot of people also keep captive bred amphibians and reptiles. And as I say, that's not illegal to sell that spawn because it is captive bred, provided it's kept in captivity. So the problem is people buying these the spawn and then releasing it into the wild, and then you'll have non-native amphibians out in the wild harming our native amphibians. So it's a disease issue, but also an issue that we don't want non-native amphibians to be released into the wild.
If people do knowingly see posts, knowing that they have come from the wild, is it you to report it to, or a wildlife crime officer, or what should they do?
Yeah, they can report it to their local police wildlife crime officer. Most police authorities do have wildlife crime officers, or they can report it to us and give us the name of the website where they've seen it, and we can follow it up.
Hashtag stop spawn sales. Thank you very much for explaining that. And thank you for becoming a friend of the Happy Garden podcast, Kathy.
Okay, thank you very much, Molly.
Isn't she lovely, Darren? I do like Kathy. We'll use her again. But yeah, Darren, I think you and I and maybe a lot of people listening have been enlightened that even goes on.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I mean, but if it's sellable, people will sell
it.
Of
course.
We shouldn't be surprised, really, should we?
Yeah. Have you seen frogs and toads already as we come into
April? Yeah, we got frogs at Winterbourne, so and toads. Yeah, that are definitely getting ready to produce.
Yeah,
if not already
producing,
so.
International frog news this week as well. Did you see about this 270-million-year-old fossil that was in global news, shedding light on the murky origins of amphibians? It's actually been named Kermit. Well, It's been named after Kermit, the world's most famous frog. Scientists have found this fossilised skull. It's strange, isn't it? They often find it not in the ground, but it was in the collection at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History. Been there for years. No one's even looked in that drawer. Anyway, they've just come across it and it's been named Kermitops gratus because it does look like Kermit. And it's a chunk in the jigsaw of amphibians. Apparently this fossil was part of a group of relatives of amphibians that lived for more than 200 million years, totally unique, and early fossil records are largely fragmentary, which makes it hard to know how frogs have evolved. But this is a really big piece in the puzzle. What's it? Hang on, what was it called? Kermitops gratus. I think that's smashing.
Kermitops?
Yes. Because it looks like Kermit.
Could I not have thought something? I mean, for generations now, that's going to be called Kermitops.
I like it. That's accessible to the general public, though, calling it Kermitops gratis. Anyway, Kathy, thank you very much for joining us. Darren, at this juncture, we've got to welcome a few new podcast listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Iran this week.
Yes.
Big in Iran.
Yeah, well.
Well, I say big.
How many?
About 17. Which oh, I think right. Well, which I think's right. Good. No, yeah, yeah, right. Like 17 yeah. Downloads okay. In Iran.
Yeah.
Someone's been talking about us. Few in Guernsey this week, which is new area for us. Very posh.
Very posh.
Darling. Yes. And also, as well, even posher, Switzerland. We've had a fair few in Switzerland.
Really?
Yeah.
Switzerland.
So thank you if you've downloaded the Happy Garden podcast in Switzerland. However, there'll be a lot of people, I would imagine, taking us away that have gone away for the Easter break, perhaps with their families who want a little bit of home when they're away. So they're listening to us all over the world. Hi to you if you're away at the moment. Happy Easter.
Yeah. Happy Easter, folks. And thanks for carrying us with you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Take us wherever you go. And hello to No Gallbladder Mark, who's a big fan.
Right. Hello, No Gallbladder Mark.
Can you guess?
What? No, he's got no gallbladder, has he?
And he's called Mark. That's the explanation. All right.
You don't want to know my nickname then.
Oh, I don't know, Darren.
Oh, it's dear. Why I limp.
sorry. Oh, God, that reminds me. Darren,
What?
The reaction that I've had this week, not only on the historical histories of the bush from last week, I've had equal comment on your, and I don't advocate this, and neither does the Happy Garden podcast, on Darren putting Imac up his nose on a matchstick. There's been a lot of reaction to that.
It's an experience, let's be like that.
Not one we wish anybody to repeat. It was something Darren did in his youth. Right, what are we doing now? So what sheet are we?
I don't know. You've got the sheets.
There's a lot of sheets today.
You haven't sent me the sheets this week.
I know, I forgot. I've been working today.
Oh.
I've only just got home. For everybody listening, it's pitch black outside. It's not like us to be recording at 8 o'clock at night, is it? It's my bedtime.
No. Yeah, it's your bedtime.
I haven't eaten yet.
Oh.
So no, don't worry. I've got a V&T. All I require.
V&T.
Yep.
Vodka and tonic.
That's the one, my darling. It's been a long day. Right, sheet one we've done. Have we done two? Yes, we have.
Wow.
Yep, and we've done three. Oh, my God, we can't be halfway through already. Oh, it looks like we are. We're on sheet four. Right, what's next?
Don't drop sheet floor on the floor. Because you'll have sheet on the floor. No!
Please say the National Trust aren't listening. No, really, where are we? Money saving tips coming up in a bit, it says here. So,
right?
Yeah, we'll
is
do that
right?
Very, very shortly. Well, one thing to mention. Oh, God. I don't even know what I'm laughing at.
Neither do I. It's just funny.
I know.
Ha 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 Oh, no. We're back to Christmas where there was 6 minutes of laughter.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes. There was a podcast with 6 minutes of laughing. All right. Okay. Now, it says next on my sheet. Hang on. All right.
Professional,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
We were well in the charts this week. So.
We did really well in the podcast charts this week. Really, really well.
It's quality recording, that's what it is. Quality production.
Okay. Okay. Right, let's get on to Heather on Facebook. Ooh. Now, this is a really interesting one, actually, because did you see I'd put on the Facebook this week about the bargains that I got?
Yeah.
Really brilliant bargains, really brilliant bargains. I always go and have a look at the reduced section. First thing I do when I get to any nursery or garden centre, go and look at the hospital. And generally, they literally need a tidy up and a bit of water and they're fine. Now, I'd put that on. And Heather said, not sure how far you are from Dobby's in Shenstone, Molly, but they're now on Too Good To Go. So you can either get house or outside plants, 30 quid's worth for a tenner. She has not managed to get one yet as they either sell out fast or I can't get there in the allocated time slot. I had no idea that Dobby's did this, and Dobby's is where I got the bargains from, excuse me. I knew that they did food from like the cafes and this, that and the other for Too Good To Go. Didn't know they did plants. I have had a Google and can't find anything about it, but it's what Heather recommends.
Yeah, well, Dobby's in Shenstone, isn't it, me?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's only just round the corner.
Oh. Well,
it's a bit more than round the corner, but it's only about 20 minutes away.
Oh, right. I might go and have a look.
Go and have a nip down, Heather.
Yeah. Go and have a nose around and see what you can find. And definitely worth... I got some marguerites, as you probably saw on the Facebook page, that were, I think they were 17 or 18 quid for 3 quid. I don't know what's wrong with them. They're a little bit floppy right in the centre. And a little bit of botrytis. What do you call it?
Botrytis.
Yeah, that. Right in the centre. And I've picked sort of the mouldy bits out.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's because they got too wet, they were selling them off. Would that be the case?
Yeah, definitely. They've either been too wet or...
Left outside.
Kept in damp conditions, yeah.
Will they come back?
Grey mould is. Yeah, they should do, yeah. I mean, grey mould. We're going to talk about this when I do my sow and grow slot. But grey mould can be devastating, which is botrytis, which is can be totally and utterly devastating. So it might be why they've sold them on. You don't want to put them anywhere near your greenhouse, by the way.
Oh,
Molly.
Guess where they are.
Because you get an attack of grey mould in there and it'll go through your glasses.
Oh, like do the spores business. Go in the air?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll get those out first thing in the morning. Okay. I might send you a picture, actually, of some of the bits and bobs just to ask for some advice as to why you think they're in the reduced section. But it's still worth having a look, though, wherever you go. It's a good money-saving tip. Yeah. Darren.
Hello.
What's orange and sounds like a parrot?
I don't know. What's orange and sounds like a parrot?
A carrot. How many jokes have you got today?
What's brown and sticky?
I used that on the BBC the other day. I did. A stick. Are you joining me this week, by the way?
Yeah.
Have they booked you?
The producer phoned me this morning.
Good.
Booked me for half an hour, he said.
What?
He said for half an hour.
Oh, that must mean, by the way, dear pod listener, it's only cover because I lost my job back in September. But
yeah, I want me rose back.
All my leaving gifts.
Leaving presents?
I've never had so much work since I left.
You've done more work than you used to do.
I know. I did the breakfast show the last couple of weeks. Unbelievable. So I'm just covering people now on local BBC. It's BBC Radio Dublin in Brum. But this week I'm doing the afternoon show, and we start the afternoon show with an inspirational person for half an hour. I wonder if you've been booked for that. Oh, you must have been. Yes. No pressure, Darren, but I think you're the BBC's inspirational guest.
Well, I'll have to wear a tie.
Oh, how exciting.
Oh, that will be so funny. They kicked me out the door and now I'm an inspirational man of the week.
You lost your job as well. The irony. Well, this pod goes out on Thursday, so if anyone wants to listen on BBC Sounds, then I think Darren's on Thursday at 2 o'clock on BBC WM.
Thursday at 2.
I think.
I'll give you some words of inspiration, folks.
Not if you want to work again, you won't. All right.
Well, according to BBC Gardeners Worldwide, I'm a beacon of horticultural knowledge.
Well, do you know what? That? Yeah, I know. Like, Gardeners Worldwide, I have that written down for about 5 minutes' time.
Okay.
What did you say you were? A beacon of what?
Horticultural knowledge.
Let me write that down.
That's what the Facebook post said.
Okay. We'll talk about that very, very shortly. Let's, though, before the adverts are upon us, let's do Andy Lound. Amaze and astound with Andy Lound. He's certainly amazed and astounded us last week. But today, it being International Carrot Day on the 4th of April, here is the magnificent Andy Lound with the history of the carrot.
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Lound. That's me. Hello, Morley and Darren. Today I will be telling you about the potted history of carrots. Carrots are the nation's favourite vegetable. 75% of Britons say they eat carrots regularly, and we crunch our way through more than 10 billion carrots each year. The British carrot is available all year round and is a vegetable we all know and love, but it wasn't always so readily available. In years gone by, the carrot was considered positively exotic. It is thought that the carrot first came from Afghanistan sometime around the 7th century CE, when they were originally purple. Carrots were known to the Greeks and the Romans. In fact, the Greeks called the carrot philtrum and used it as a love medicine, making men more ardent and women more yielding. The Roman Emperor Caligula, believing these stories, forced the whole Roman Senate to eat carrots so he could see them in rut like wild beasts. India, China and Japan had established carrots as a good crop by the 13th century. In Europe, however, they were not well known until well into the Middle Ages. At that time, doctors prescribed them for everything from sexual maladies to snake bite. The orange carrot is thought to have originated in 16th century Holland, where the original red, purple, black, yellow and white varieties were hybridised to today's bright orange, with its potent dose of beta-carotene. Some claim that the Dutch created the orange carrots to honour the Dutch flag at the time of William of Orange, but other authorities argue these claims lack convincing evidence, and it is possible that the orange carrot was favoured by Europeans because it does not brown the soups and stews as the purple carrot does, and therefore was much more attractive. Carrots moved to England during Elizabethan times. Some Elizabethans ate the roots as food. Others used their feathery stalks to decorate their hair, their hats, their dresses and their coats. Carrots are extremely versatile, delicious either raw or cooked, and are an integral part of many recipes from around the globe. America is famous for mouth-watering carrot cake. In India, carrots are used to produce a delicious fudge-like dessert called halva. Carrots are also an important ingredient in many Jewish recipes, such as simis, a sweet stew which is usually orange in colour. And of course, carrots were on the menus of many of the hotels in Vichy, France, as part of the cure for overloaded digestive systems, from where the traditional recipe of carrots Vichy come from. The myth that carrots help one see in the dark was propaganda used by the Royal Air Force during the Second World War to explain why British pilots had improved night vision, which enabled them to have great successes in nighttime air battles. In reality, it was thanks to the newly adopted radar technology. The suggestion, though, led to German scientists setting up a research programme into carrots. A radio programme called The Kitchen Front encouraged people to grow, store and use carrots in various novel ways, including making carrot jam and Woolton pie. So there you have it. The best aphrodisiac is a good carrot, but it won't improve your eyesight. So, Molly and Darren, more from the potting shed next time.
Andy Lound, fabulous. Yay! Thank you very much, Andy Lound. AndrewLound.com if you want to find out more about Andy. But he's here with his horticultural histories every week on the Happy Garden podcast. Now, we will have more advice on seedlings very, very shortly. Coral has sent a question about seedlings that seem to be dying off. Darren has got advice next, and also his comprehensive guide to seed sowing. After a few adverts, stay exactly where you are. We'll be back in just two ticks.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back! Yay!
Yay!
Welcome back to part two of the Happy Garden podcast. And we will kick off, Darren, with your very prestigious news. Gardeners World Life were doing their social media about you this week.
Come along, folks. Come and seek me out. Come and have a VIP tour. You know I do these, Molly.
The VIP tours.
The VIP tours. So you can come in early before members of the general public are allowed in. We don't want them in. Do we, when we're chatting? And I'll take you for about 45 minutes around the showground and show you inside the floral marquee, show you the stands that I like and get out towards and look at beautiful borders. And then we'll look at the show gardens and introduce you to the famous show garden designers and all this sort of stuff. And take a really, really good look behind the scenes before they met members of the general public.
Fab.
No, it's great.
It is.
Fabulous.
As much as I love it, it can be, especially at the weekend, it can be elbows at dawn. So to have a quiet tour with you as the expert sounds amazing.
Oh, it's brilliant. And we have some fun. We have a laugh. We tell a few dirty jokes.
What?
And, you know.
Tell the joke that you said 2 weeks ago on the podcast about the Naked Gardening Club. I dare you. About how hard it is on the first day. But then you eased into it or something. I can't remember. It's very good.
It was the way you realised what I'd said.
And it was the way you said it.
I thought you were going to fall off your chair.
I wasn't expecting it from you. But yeah, so you're doing the VIP tours. You're also one of the experts, of course, as always.
Yeah, so I'll be on stage and I'll be on my usual pedestal in the floral marquee offering advice. So you can come and have a one-to-one face-to-face chat with me, Molly.
Well,
how about that?
Yeah.
What more could you want? It's all free. Well, you have to pay to get in. But
once you're in.
Bring your detritus as well. We love a bit of detritus. So if you need something identifying or you've got a bit of mank and you need to have somebody to look at that, then bring it in. We'll have a go and we'll see if we can tell you what your fungus is or, you know, a bit of weed or whatever.
Do you know, do you remember people used to send us bits of mank in a jiffy?
Yeah.
And once I was liberating some vine weevils outside of the radio station. Do you remember the record ran out? And
yeah,
I was still outside with the vine weevils. Yeah, making sure they were okay.
Yeah.
Did I tell you the police were here the other day?
No.
Hang on, why was I going to tell you this?
House.
What were we just talking about? Oh, what, you mentioned the word weed. Yeah, you mentioned the word weed and I yeah.
Well, they finally sort you out of that.
No, they finally caught up with me. No, did I not tell you this on the pod the other day?
No. Oh, you told us about all this equipment that you'd actually found.
Oh, I did. This is the woman who lost her third bare-rooted rose and can't remember where she planted it. So I can't remember if I told you on the pod a couple of weeks ago about the policewoman in the greenhouse.
No.
Are you sure? I don't know if I did or not.
No.
So my husband found loads and loads. Basically, I'll cut a very long story short, he found the proceeds of a burglary, a local burglary. In hindsight, it turned out, we found out. I won't say too many details in case the perps are listening. the criminals. Don't want them to identify me. Anyway, two police came round to our house to come and collect what my husband had found, and it was all drying out in the greenhouse. So these police women came, blues and twos, you know, in the car, pulled up in the police car and everything, came in, and I said, it's in here, my lud, and led them into the greenhouse. Do you remember me saying on the pod a few weeks ago when listener Rupert joined us about collecting drugs paraphernalia that had been fly-tipped?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you probably know where this is going. So in the corner of the greenhouse, there was a lot of drug paraphernalia that we got out of the hedge, you know, sort of like, you know, old cannabis plants in those big, you know, 20-litre felt bags. No, they're all stacked up in the corner of the greenhouse. And so these two policewomen came in and I'm giving them the proceeds of this burglary. And I could see the policewoman behind was looking at all this. And I had to explain. I said, look, this isn't ours. And I explained. But I could just see her looking at her, oh, no, I'm going to get arrested. But it was, I told her it was just fly tipping and we'd just taken the bags to grow potatoes. I don't know if she believed me or not.
Did they not check in your loft?
They didn't as it went. I think I have a very honest face. That's as far as it went.
I tell you what, they're watching you.
Do you think I've got a marker on me now?
Yeah, definitely. You know that helicopter that keeps flying past?
Over the greenhouse.
It's not going to the airport,
oh,
Molly.
Oh, dear. Right. Anyway, right, let's press on. Let's press on with another question for you, Darren. So this was from Coral from a little bit earlier on. Can you also please ask Darren about these very sad-looking viola seeds? I had a fairly good germination and I've had them on the floor by my patio door. They have now started drying off, but they are watered from below in a tray, not left to stand in water, so I'm not sure that they are waterlogged. But they're quite moist. I don't know if they're getting too hot. I'm not sure what to do with the remaining few, as I have a lot of other seeds coming through in trays next to them, and I'm worried about losing them too. And that's from Coral. And we have put the picture of Coral's seed tray on the Facebook page, the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page. There's two or three erect and the rest have fainted. So over to you, Darren. Is it too late and what might she have done wrong?
Well, you see, my sow and grow slot, Molly.
Which is coming soon.
What I was going to discuss. I was going to discuss basically what's happening here. So,
Do you want to do that? Do you want to do it now?
Yeah,
and then we can
please.
Combine that with Coral's question.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right.
Because it's right of the moment.
Okay, It's of the moment. I was just trying to find the houseplant band, the radio edit, not the long one from last week.
Okay.
All right, hang on. Stay there.
Charlotte, do you need to come in and get some underpants?
Who's that? Is that? Oh, don't embarrass your daughter on the podcast.
Pardon?
Oh, look, she won't speak now.
You can come in now.
Say hello to her for me.
Molly says hello.
Hello.
All right, chickadee. Darren, the world doesn't need
what?
To... There's people listening in Iran. I think what Charlotte's come in for is private.
Oh, it's towels.
Oh, that's
pants.
All right then. Okay. Right, are you ready with your slot?
Yes, I'm ready with my slot.
Oil that door. Okay, hang on.
My packet of seeds are keen to breed the tins that overflow. But what I need is advice to heed. There's so much I don't know. Tell me what to plant on Mondays. Tell me what to sow on Sundays. Tell me when would be a good day. So they shoo hold up and don't die down.
Pitiful. Pitiful. All right then.
That's brilliant.
Handing over to you for Darren Rogers' sewing slot.
Well, at the moment, what are people doing? What are you doing out there? And Coral, this is exactly what you're doing. You're sowing seeds, folks. It's seed sowing season. God, that was, I mean, syncopathic, wasn't it?
It was what?
If that's a word.
Alliteration.
Yeah, alliteration.
No, I prefer syncopathic.
I made up a new word.
I love it.
But These are the things that people do slightly wrong. And this is why, Coral, you're having problems. 110%. So, first of all, when you're sowing seeds, folks, think about sowing density, especially for medium-sized seeds. These are the seeds that you can just about pick up and you sprinkle across the top surface. So things like your violas, coral, tagetes, those sort of things. Many, many bedding plants, as well as onion seeds, those sort of things. What you need to do is you need to get just a thin density, because when once these actually germinate, what will actually happen, folks, is they'll germinate together, and then you've got a cluster of what you might think is really, really good germination. But what's happening next is they can't breathe. Air can't get between them, and fungal disease starts to strike. Because remember, fungal disease loves wet, damp, humid and congested conditions. So that's the first thing to bear in mind. Think about sowing density. And if you have to sow two trays rather than the one, then sow two trays, folks. It'll give you a lot better results. So secondly, the second thing to consider when you're sowing seeds is watering. We're always too kind to our plants and try to water too often. Even if they're watered from below, Coral, don't water them so often. When once you sow your tray, leave it alone, okay? It doesn't need to be watered again. So what's happened here then, folks, is basically the tray has been watered too often. Water sits on the surface of the compost. The sowing density is too thick. And when the seeds germinate through, what's happening is water is sitting right at the base of the seedling stem as it enters the compost. And it basically rots them off. And it's called damping off. And exactly, the word is there, damping. It's too damp for them. Fungal disease strikes, so they just literally flop over. And everybody can basically associate with that, is that your seeds look fabulous one minute, and then you turn your back and you turn around and they've suddenly gone, haven't they? And that picture of your violas, Coral, is exactly that. So stop watering, leave them alone, let them germinate through. Then the third thing to consider is heat. Most seedlings at this time of year will need a minimum heat of about 18 degrees. As soon as they've germinated, take them out of that heat, okay? Whether they're on a sunny windowsill or in a propagation case that's actually thermostatically controlled. Take them out of the heat. It'll slow them down. It stops them from being leggy. Take them away from the light. It stops them from being drawn. If you've got your sowing density right, then you can leave them for a couple of days. But as soon as you can handle them, you need to prick them out. Now, pricking out is a process by which you give your seedlings that extra space. So you either prick them out into a module or into a little pot. Now, remember, when you're pricking out, you're handling the cotyledons, which are the seed leaves. Do not touch the stem at all. Some people use tweezers to actually do this, folks, because if you touch that stem, you're going to bruise it and it will die. So prick them out, get your plant label underneath the root system, just gradually edge it out of that compost. You're holding the seed leaves with another hand. Make a hole in your container or your module where you're going to transfer it to, and then transfer it one per pot or one per module, and you've given it that extra room. So those are the secrets of success to get your seeds to come through, to germinate, and then to grow them on, folks. Remember, don't water too often, otherwise they will damp off. Get your sowing density right. When once they've germinated, as soon as they've germinated, take them out of the heat, take them away from direct light, and then prick them out as soon as you can handle them using the cotyledons or the seed leaves, and give them that additional space. And that's the way you will get your seeds to germinate and to safely establish. And then you'll have a wonderful time growing all sorts of things. There you go.
That's lovely. We must have, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, 200 or 300 seedlings going in the greenhouse at the moment. I don't know where we're going to put everything.
Yeah, it's quite often a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just gung-ho. Put them in.
Yeah, sowing everything.
And go.
Yeah. But you know what I can't find this year?
What's that?
My actual seed box. My husband's got his. We've got our own seed boxes. And I know I've got hundreds of seed packets somewhere. You've given me most of them.
Out-of-date ones?
Yeah. I know they're from you. But I can't find them everywhere. Anywhere. But, yeah. Which reminds me, I still haven't sent you those beans, have I? The 40-year-old beans.
No.
They're over there. I can see them. I must send you those beans. Boot sale, about 49p, I think they were, from 1984. So Darren's going to plant half, I'm going to plant half. Well, your students are going to do them, I think.
I was over your way the other week as well, doing a garden tour.
Ah, you could have picked them up.
I could have picked them up, couldn't
yes.
I? You could have thrown them at me.
No, I will stick them in a jiffy and pop them over to you, because time's ticking on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Time is ticking on.
Still not too late, though.
Thank you for that. No, absolutely not. I think it says May on the packet anyway, so we should be fine. But, Darren, that's brilliant. We're probably going to do your sowing slot for, what, a couple of weeks more? 2, 3, 4 weeks more?
Yeah.
All throughout the summer, yeah. If demand demands. Now, we've still got Darren's money-saving tips to come very, very shortly. Horticultural news this week, Kermitoid, or whatever it was called, aside, the fossilised frog. Himalayan balsam has been in the news globally this week. And I know, Darren, you say this has been around for a while. It sort of rears its head every year. Experts warning people not to touch this plant, which is spreading across the UK. This Himalayan balsam, known as a dangerous species because of its unusual seeds. Each plant can produce more than 2,500 seeds, which can stay alive for up to 3 years. And when touched, the seed pods explode to send them flying up 7 metres in an effort to create more plants, which, of course, cause huge problems for the landowners. It's called touch-me-not balsam in some parts. This isn't as bad as Japanese knotweed, but it's not far behind, is it, Darren?
No, not at all. And as I said, you know, for generations we've known about it. And, you know, just taking the dog for a walk, you can carry it. And like you said, it's just explosive.
Mm.
You touch the seed pods and they just go bang. And that's the way it basically propagates itself. It carries on your clothes. It'll get into the dog's fur. And even the explosion carries for a fair distance, to be honest. And the seeds can carry on wind. So they're actually designed to be aerodynamic. So they can actually be carried away. And birds will take them as well. So there you go.
Very, very clever. Nature, very, very clever, but one to watch out for. Right, we've got a question on magnolias for you next. Do you want to do your money-saving tips now, our Dazzler Pants?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Now, live on the Happy Garden Podcast, it's time for
Darren's money-saving tips.
Go, man, go!
So, here's an unusual one for you, folks. How many times has it happened that you want to put flowers on that side of the house, but there's no soil, or it's not fertile enough? If you only had soil instead of a concrete walkway, you would plant a beautiful garden of vegetables and fruits. Well, here's my simple solution. A garden sock. Okay?
What?
A garden sock. A portable sock in which you can put your soil and compost. This makes it possible to place your garden wherever you like. The garden sock is basically a fabric tube. You fill it with your choice of soil and compost, around about 60 litres worth of soil, and it contains the moisture within it when you water it. And when you lie it down on the ground, you can bend it into all sorts of shapes to fit the area you've actually got.
Genius.
You can even change the placement during the day to give maximum sunlight. Weeds are not a problem because they don't have any way of getting into the soil. In fact, the only soil that is exposed to the sun or light is the hole you cut in the fabrics to plant in your seedlings, your vegetables, or your plants.
Oh, I'm very pleased with that one. That's like a big snake. Thigh-high sock.
You can have it as long as you like. There's around about 60 litres worth of compost.
Wow.
So it's a good compost bag full. So there you go.
That's genius. Your money-saving tips are brill.
Oh, of course.
If you've got any that you want to share, you're more than welcome to get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast, either on Facebook or you can, which is the Happy Garden Podcast, or you can email thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, and we must mention, you've got a new feature starting next week, Darren, your foraging feature.
Yeah, it's quite exciting because every month I'm going to tell you at the beginning of the month what you can forage in your garden and what to look out for and what tasty little treats you've got in your backyard, folks.
Nice.
So, lovely. And this month, wow. Well, next month, I should say.
Well, yeah, by the time this comes out, it'll be April-ish, yeah.
Yeah. So, April is the month when you really, if you want to get into foraging, April is the month to start, because there's loads out there, folks.
Well, we'll do that next
time. Try some of these. You just got to try them.
Oh, absolutely.
Just got to try them. Give up chocolate for a month.
What?
Well, yes. Darren's money-saving tips.
Not sure about that latter advice there, Darren. Right, we're on sheet six, so we're nearly done.
Sheet six?
Mm.
With six sheets to the wind.
I suppose. Well, we've only got your jokes, Jobs, and then it says at the bottom of my sheet, the flipping end. So that's on the horizon. But we have one more question from Marlene, and this is a really, really interesting one, and I've thought this myself, actually, across the last couple of weeks driving around, talking about magnolias, which are just stunning this time of year when you get the blue skies. But Marlene says, Molly, Darren, well, firstly, Darren, I laughed until I cried last week listening to your antics with Imac. For anyone that didn't hear it, it's well worth going back and listening to last week's podcast. We don't advocate any of it there. Well, I certainly don't.
You've got to frighten yourself at least once a week.
Frighten yourself. You nearly did yourself a right mischief. Anyway, she says, my question is about magnolias. I always envy everybody's magnolia trees at this time of year, and I think I should get one. The one problem I see and would not like is the confetti of petals on the floor after a few days. I'm not that mobile or agile these days, and I would worry about having to clear up every day for fear of slipping on the slimy petals. Darren, is there a type of magnolia that holds its flowers for longer, meaning they perhaps shrivel on the tree instead of falling so readily? All the best, and thank you for a brilliant podcast. I look forward to it every week. It says in big letters, laughter should be on the NHS. So says Marlene.
Well, Marlene, you're right. Laughter should be on the NHS, yeah. And, you know, we can prescribe it, can't we?
Weekly.
Just listen to us. Yeah, exactly. And that's what Molly got there before me, didn't she?
Molly.
So the thing is, Marlene, I think what you're talking about is the large-cupped magnolias. They're called Magnolia soulangeana. That's what they are. And they do cause a bit of a mess, don't they? But if you want a smaller type magnolia with smaller flowers, it will still cause a little bit of a bless you.
Excuse me.
If you want a smaller flowered magnolia, then it's a smaller tree. It will hold onto its petal more. And it won't cause so much of a mess, but the star magnolia is the one to go for. It's called Magnolia stellata. That's the one to go for. It will still lose its petals, so there's no way in the world that we can stop it from doing that. They're brilliant white or cream, but they've not got those big cups that you normally associate with magnolias. But at this time of year, is absolutely stunning plant to have. So go and look for a star magnolia, Magnolia stellata, and buy yourself one of those. And I promise you won't be disappointed.
Okay, brilliant. We bought one last week, actually. Strange you said that. Yes.
There you go. Lovely.
Thank you, Marlene. And let us know. Let us know if you follow the advice and what plant that you do get. And thank you very much for getting in touch. Darren, jobs and jokes left. How hard are you feeling?
What?
How confident are you that you're going to make us laugh?
Well,
eh?
I've got six jokes. One includes Monty Don, so, got to be a laugh, hasn't it, with Monty Don in? Because he's a laugh a minute, isn't he?
He's on this podcast. Oh, right, at his expense, God love him. Right, are you ready?
Yeah.
Now in the Happy Garden.
It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
Come on then, our dazzler, let's be having you.
Molly,
yeah.
My neighbour had a garden party the other day where he cooked shooting star curry. Mm. Have you ever tried shooting star curry?
Can't say as I have.
It's a bit like asteroid curry, but a bit meteor.
Oh, good. Yeah, Darren, I got that straight away. Good.
Now, strangely enough, my neighbour's wife paints pictures in her garden of Moses. Hundreds of them, Molly.
Huh.
She only does it for the profit.
That's clever.
They're building, I'm telling you.
Good, Darren.
Whilst out playing a round of golf with my caddy the other day, he suddenly presented me with lunch. I'd only asked him for a sand wedge, Molly.
A sand wedge. Yeah, good. I don't know what one of those is.
Oh,
I've never played golf. No, I tell a lie, I've done pitch and putt. Anyway,
right,
go on.
I'm moving on.
Yep.
A man was advised to start gardening to deal with his paranoia, Molly.
Oh, yeah.
He went to his local library to do some plant research, but couldn't find any books. When asking the librarian where they were, he was told, "They're behind you."
That's good. I like that. Cruel, but good.
Chatting to my neighbour over the garden fence. I seem to be chatting to my neighbour quite a lot over the garden. It must be spring. He said, "Don't you just hate those people that insistently bang on your door shouting, 'You need to be saved, otherwise you'll burn.'"
Yes.
Stupid firemen.
Oh, Darren!
And finally...
Yes.
Monty Don, did you know, was kidnapped by a group of mime artists.
Dear God, no, I didn't.
Reportedly, they did unspeakable things to him.
Jeez.
Mime artist, unspeakable things.
Oh, sorry, have you done the punchline already?
Yeah.
What? Oh, hang on. What?
You want me to do it again?
Do it again.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Happens every week. Monty Don was kidnapped by a group of mime artists.
Yes.
Reportedly, they did unspeakable things to him.
Yeah, no, that's good.
God, it's hard work sometimes.
No, that one was really good. Best, you saved the best. Is that it, by the way?
Yeah.
Well, you definitely saved the best to last. That was good.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Not as good as Naked Gardeners.
No, not as good. Well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right, well, Darren, that's nearly it. We're nearly allowed to go to bed.
We've been ever so efficient tonight.
We have, haven't we?
The neighbour's banging on the window, though.
Would you keep it down? It is late. We've never recorded a podcast.
Shut up laughing.
We've never done one this late before.
No.
Shall we finish with jobs for the week ahead?
Yes.
Have we done everything else?
Yeah.
Have we?
Yeah.
Hang on, let me just double check, because we seem to have whizzed past an awful lot of stuff. Sheet one, frog spawn. Sheet two, carrots, cacti. Sheet three, Kermit. Sheet four, no gallbladder mark, Andy Lowned, adverts. Money saving. Sewing slot. Yeah, we've done everything.
You know, if you say adverts again, does that mean I'll put more adverts in?
Can you imagine? We don't get paid for the ones that are on the pod,
no.
As you know, because I moan about it every week.
Come on, Dixon's.
Dixon's.
Curry's.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was Curry's last week. So, yeah, we still don't get paid. So if you fancy buying us a coffee, by the way, then the link to that is on our Facebook page. It's only a fiver.
Mine's a decaf oat milk latte.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have a similar. It's just a fiver and it supports us in what we do. Right, so we'll finish with some jobs for the week ahead, our Darren.
Now in the happy garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes.
Three, two, one, go, man.
So, general gardening jobs, folks, include spread compost mulch over your borders and around your plants to suppress weeds, put pom-poms and fountains back into the pools, thoroughly cleaning filters first. You can lay turf or sow a new lawn from seed, clean out bird baths and top up with fresh water. Check tree ties are not too tight or cutting into the bark. And loosen if necessary and cut back overgrown ivy. And if you are raising seedlings in your glasshouse, protect pots of seedlings from the cold by making mini cloches from empty plastic bottles. And prick out your seedlings once they have developed their first true seed leaves, which are the cotyledons I was talking about earlier. Open your greenhouse doors on warm days and let it vent. And sow some herbs in pots and trays, including basil, chives, parsley, fennel, coriander. Pot up some pots with summer flowering bulbs and start feeding your houseplants weekly. Not weekly, as in W-E-A-K-L-Y, but weekly.
Weekly. Okay.
Weekly.
Weekly. Darren, thank you. There we go. Podcast 30.
You. And, you know, done. I can still watch a little bit of telly now.
Yes, it's not too late, is it?
Up. I've got my lounge pants on already.
Yeah, I've got my pyjamas on already.
Yeah. Ready to go to bed with Jimmy Jams.
Yes. Yeah. It's quite a different experience recording at night.
It is, really.
Like last Sunday, didn't we do it? It was dark, but it was morning.
It was morning last week, yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
Opposite end of the day, yeah.
Even the sun hadn't got up yet.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I know by the time this podcast goes out, you will have joined me already on the BBC, but what time have you been booked for? Is it a 2 o'clock slot?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yes, you are my inspirational guest then. Jared, you've got half. You're going to have to come up with half an hour's content. Literally, I just introduced you to say, let's do a deep dive into Darren Rudge. And
what?
Then, yeah. And then it's over to you. Ooh, you're going to have to fill half hour. Good luck with that.
That's okay. Can I come in and mess with the faders?
Oh, are you actually coming into this radio studio?
I could do if you want me to.
Well, I suppose you could, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be like the old days.
Oh, it will, yeah. Do you think they'll let me through the door?
Yes. Have you still got your pass?
I think my pass will. Yeah, I was going to say, do you think my pass will still
work? No, they cancel you. Yeah, no, I know they do.
You want me to come in? I'll come in.
All right, well, we'll discuss.
Yeah.
All right, ace.
Yeah.
Oh, how
be great.
Exciting.
Because I'd see my old friends and,
yeah. And
you know, reminisce and,
yeah, about
you know,
the good old days.
And like the
when we had a job.
When we had a job. We didn't ask people to buy us coffees.
Buy us coffees for a fiver. No.
And a sausage roll from Greg's.
I don't know. Times are a-changing, Darren. Well, listen. You go and watch a bit of telly and go to bed. I've got a pizza in the other room, so I've got to go and down that, and I'm going to bed as well. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so, so much for being with us on the Happy Garden podcast. We've reached episode 30, and we are very grateful for your continued support. So thank you. And enjoy your Easter. If maybe you've got little ones, grandkids on. When you're going to spend some time with the family, and if you need to get out and about and dodge the showers, get a bit of you time, then follow all Darren's instructions and have a fab time in your garden.
Yeah, have a fab time, folks. No excuse now. The weather's not bad anymore. It's quite warm, so get out there and go and have a really good play in the mud.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, folks.
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.